Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. What?
What? How was that? The usually the intros are hot. That one was spicy.
Was it?
Dude, I had to turn my volume down on my computer because it 100% echoed from my headphones into my mic.
Well, too bad.
Yeah, this podcast is exciting and it's loud.
I'm Trevor Sikkema. That's Benjamin Solak, the one with the weak ears, not me. We are here today to talk about four more bad linebackers. I'm just kidding. They're not bad. There's actually one, Ben. There's actually one that I really like.
Really like? I have a guess as to who it is. He's also my favorite. Like, I have a guess who it is. It's my favorite of this group. I'm not sure it's the guy that you have, but he's likable. He's translatable.
Actually, you know what? Because you think you know who it is, I'm going to let you tell us who we're going to start with today, because
right,
I don't think that you're going to pull him out at the beginning. So this will be a telling tale.
Okay, so my goal is to get it right as to who you like.
But you don't have to name them first. I'm giving you the opportunity to pick who we talk about first. Whether you want to take a risk and bet that that's the guy that I like talking about, and then risk me not caring about this podcast for the other three guys, go right ahead. But if not...
Wow, that's a lot.
See, now we're talking implications.
Right, okay. I'm just going to start with a player who I know has some fans. You might be one of these fans, and I just don't get it. And that's Joe Bosa Jr. out of Michigan State.
Do you think this is the guy I like?
No. There's no way. Which, like, Kyle likes him, so maybe I'm just totally off on Bosa to
everybody
else.
Kyle also liked Patty Fisher.
Wow. You hate to see that. Oh, devastating. Joe Bosa Jr.
Tell him about him. Where's he from? Height, weight. When was he born?
Trevor.
What's his sign?
okay, well, let's see. His birthday is...
Do you actually know his birthday? Are you gonna know his sign, like, right off the bat? Are you into astrology?
No, 0% chance. I was gonna try. If he was born near me, then he was a Pisces, and that's all the information I have for you. Joe Bosa Jr. is going into his third year starting at Michigan State as middle linebacker. Now, this was a first-team All-Big Ten guy as a junior. He was a team MVP as a sophomore, second-team, third-team Big Ten. Like, this guy's been around, and people have liked him for a while. And, like, you know, he was seeing action as a freshman. I don't think he ever redshirted, right? Like, Bocci has been a stalwart player for Michigan State for a while.
He's a Pisces.
6'2", 238. Is he a Pisces?
Yes.
I am also a Pisces, which is a shame because I don't like Joe Bocci. Joe Bocci brings the hammer. He brings the thunder. And so he's got stopping power in the hole. He's got, you know, size of a true NFL Mike. He's 6'2", 240. So he's got the size to be that between the tackles player. His athletic ability is just, to me, woefully limited. And his coverage instincts and recognition are bordering laughable. And I mean, like, you're playing middle linebacker in the Big Ten. I hear you. You aren't getting a lot of, you know, great passing game for wide receiver looks. You got to do that and other thing. But, like, Ohio State, Washington State in the bowl game 2 years ago, Purdue had this dude just flipping. Like, he could not figure out what was going on. His zone recognition and then his lack of recovery and transitional quickness just means that he is, to me, a liability in short zone coverage. Man coverage, I do not see him successfully tagging anybody except for tight end twos, you know what I mean? Except for, like, guys who also lumber the way that he does. And then into the boundary, I don't find him to be an effective player against the run. I think he's a tackle-to-tackle player with good power, and that's a dime a dozen. And he's been very productive for Michigan State, and he's an emotional leader for them, and I got love for that. But I trying to find something to hang my hat on with Bocci, and I just couldn't get there.
Let me read an excerpt from an article that I read about Joe Bocci that will explain to you everything that you need to know about him. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Shortly after Michigan State linebacker Joe Bocci decided to delay his NFL future and return to school for his senior season, he took a trip back home to Brook Park, Ohio. he was met with a sledgehammer and a pry bar. Technically, this was supposed to be a break from workouts and classes, but his father, Joe Sr., had other plans. For 2 days, Joe Sr. took his boys out to work on a concrete job where they tore out patio the old school way, by hand. Wheelbarrowing, digging stone, loading up a truck. Quote, he just does it, Joe Sr. said. Quote, he shuts his mouth and just does it, end quote. That's the excerpt.
Yeah, listen, like, Joe Bocci eats nails for breakfast.
He eats nails without any milk. If I had to pick a prospect to get into the salty platoon right off rip, it's Joe Bocci. But he's probably not playing in the NFL. Like, this dude is, it's stereotypical to be like, yeah, grit, hard work. That's literally who he is. Like, that is him as a linebacker. He is a hard worker. He's a downhill guy. He does all the dirty work. He does not have the athleticism to play in zone coverage. And he is just, like you were saying, he's not a guy that you want to be able to play in that role. And as we talked about yesterday on the podcast, that's where the NFL's going.
Right.
So it's funny because this guy, Joe Bocci, got his opportunity by taking Riley Bulla's job when Bulla went down with an injury. And it's just the same dude. Like, they're the same
honestly,
dude. And
different hair, same dude.
And I watched the Riley Bulla experience firsthand, the NFL chapter of it. And you see the guy in training camp. He's a fan favorite. A lot of guys love him. But he's just teetering the end of that roster all year long. Sometimes he'll come up because of injury. Riley even got to start a couple of games because the Bucs were so thin. But at the end of the day, the style of linebacker that these two guys play is just completely replaceable year in to year out. Unless he were to just like somehow get an athletic or sixth sense or instincts just out the wazoo. I mean, this is just not a mold that can really be prioritized at all.
What is it that Joe Marino says? Like Joe Marino, like he says, like he'll stick his face in the wood chipper or something like that. Like he'll like.
I've never heard that before, but yeah, sure. I guess it'd probably be painful.
Joe
but.
Says something like, you know, he'll stick his face in like, you know, the lawnmower or something, like to illustrate as idiomatically that like Bocci's not afraid of any contact and he will come downhill and he will hit you and he'll cover bubbles and he's an effective blitzer. Which like, if you're not gonna be good in coverage, be a good blitzer, and he brings good power as a blitzer. So I like that.
He does.
But can I, it's just like this is a player with tackle-to-tackle influence in a league that is increasingly happening outside of the tackle box.
That's a great way to put it. Can I read you a paragraph from this story? Because it's unbelievable.
Please
do. This story is probably, it's definitely my
Who
favorite
is
thing
it?
I've read.
Who, give him some love.
It is Mike DeFabo from the Lansing State Journal. He read this. Here, he wrote this.
Ups. Oh, this is a recent one.
Yeah. Here's another paragraph. His father, Joe Bocci's father, his father of two is a hardened football lifer who's been coaching since he was 19 years old and tearing out installing concrete since before he had a driver's license. He'll tell you, quote, proudly, that he's not a stats guy. He doesn't have an email address, and man, don't get him even started on participation trophies, because not only does he not believe in them, he doesn't believe in trophies at all.
Oh, heavens to Betsy. Oh man,
this is literally all you need to know.
That's just sad.
Wait, are you a big participation trophy guy?
Not a participation trophy, but I think people should get trophies if they do a good job.
I think so too. And it's funny because they talk about throughout the article, they're talking about like what the priorities are, like with playing football and in life. And his dad can, like, multiple times throughout the article referred to getting a degree as quote, the piece of paper. Like, you go get the piece of paper. You go to school, right, and you got to get the piece of paper. What's most important is getting the piece of paper. And, oh, God, hold on. There's another quote. Where is it?
100% chill with his dad just to hear, like, the phraseology that he uses. Because I love jargon.
There is
that,
no
I mean?
Way his dad would hang out with you if you would not drink at least 8 natty tall boys with him. Would you be okay with doing that?
I get it, Trevor. I have no friends. No one hangs out with
me. No, Ben, I love you. I hang out with you all the time. But if you want to hang out with Joe Bocci Sr.,
right,
you're going to have to put down some tall boys.
At the door.
That's what I'm saying, you know? Oh, where was this quote? I got to find it. All right, start talking. I'm going to find it.
Well, I can't move on to somebody else now, right? Because we're still talking about Joe Bocci. You're trying to find another quote about him. So
this is good. You're doing good.
Oh, thank you. I will say more. Man, no, I've already ripped on him enough. I have no more positive notes. I've literally gone through all of them.
What do you think about the color green? What do you think?
It's solid. A lot of versatility. Gotta say, obviously, an Eagles fan, there's a lot of positive things to get out of the color green. Now, from a wardrobe perspective, I only wear darker shades of green. But my Kelly green hat for the Eagles is like the go-to hat. That's one I wear like most days.
All right, I can't find it. Okay. All right, I'm gonna try to find it throughout the podcast. All right, who are we talking next? Are you gonna guess the guy that you think that I like on this one?
Okay, I'm going to, you know, go up step. Like I'm gonna go. Like I think Bosch is probably the worst player here. I'm gonna go up to the next worst player, and we're gonna take process of elimination that way. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. Michigan has a position called Viper, and Viper is pretty much their overhang position, right? It's the guy who he goes over the tight end when he's flexed out. And when I say an overhang position, because that might not be a position you're familiar with, you know, depending on like when you played football and how deep you got into it. But overhang, or kind of like an apex sort of a position, is essentially, you know, that nebulous area between the slot receiver and the tackle. Is an area where you might put the overhang, because that way he can have run and pass responsibilities. That's very frequently the RPO conflict defender, but that's a spot where you put that big box safety tight, because you want him to be able to fill against the run and then also bail against the pass. It helps you split responsibilities, two jobs, one guy, makes you plus one in the run game, plus one in the pass game, theoretically, on paper. Kalike Hudson plays that Viper role for the Michigan Wolverines. And Kalike Hudson was a guy that we were talking about as a safety prospect last year. Like I remember, you know, sitting with Kyle Krabs, who was our Big Ten guy, who's saying like Kalike Hudson is a safety. And now we're more so talking about him as a linebacker, which should immediately tell you what you need to know about Kalike Hudson, which is that we have a guy who is 6'2", 220. So he doesn't fit neatly into any spot. So he's in this overhang, he's in this apex. If you're going to be 220 up near the line of scrimmage, man, you better be able to man cover. And I'm not sure Kalike Hudson can man cover. He's very physical in the contact window, which I like. That's going to take away routes early, and that's a big part of the battle. That's half the battle. If you can take away the quick route, especially when you're dealing with slot receivers, you're going to take away a lot of the concepts the teams want to execute, especially against college offenses where they really want to get the ball out quickly. NFL offenses are also trending that way. But Hudson does not have good footwork, and he does not have good explosiveness. And so as a man-covered defender, accordingly, he struggles to stay connected through breaks, and he can give up a lot of outbreaking routes and a lot of deep-breaking routes, as well as his long speed, I would say, is just average. And so, you know, if he's up against a slot receiver, they can potentially burn him deep. Okay, so now you're a 220 guy who can't really cover. Can you be a 230 guy for me and be a more traditional Will linebacker? I don't see that, you know, that stick in your face in the lawnmower that I talked about with Bocci. I don't see that with Hudson. Hudson likes to play outside of contact. He likes to play in space. He prefers to slip offensive linemen instead of stack offensive linemen. And he can be I shouldn't say he should be a picky tackler. He's generally a strong tackler. He brings the wood. But he can be an ankle nipper. And at 220, I don't want you ankle nipping. You have enough size that you should be handling pretty much anybody who's getting the football on the offense. And so Hudson is a weird fit who does not have a hang my hat on skill. I don't think he's a hang my hat on his man coverage, on his zone coverage, or his run defense. So now you're athletically, size-wise, I don't know where to put you. And role-wise, I don't know where to put you. And so there's... You know, so I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. I think he's got a good motor, and I think he's got some good physicality, and he makes some good plays into the boundary. But there's nothing I can really say, this is how I'm getting Kalike Hudson on the field. And so that's very concerning when you're a tweener guy, is that there's no one trait or skill where I say, this is what will keep you sticking on my roster. Was he the guy you liked?
No, I didn't watch him.
All right, I'm 2 for 4. Oh, you didn't watch him? Okay.
Yeah. No, I didn't get to watch Hudson.
Right. If you watch like Michigan football over the past couple years, and like I said, Hudson's been starting at Viper for them for a while, but you just watch Hudson keep on, like, over the years, he just keeps moving closer and closer and closer to the line of scrimmage, right? Like from safety to like now this like overhang role. And that's always just like not a great sign. Like that always, like if that's like has been as a guy's career progression, that's generally concerning. Because You know what I mean? Like even like when they even when they had Peppers, like sure they're moving Peppers closer up to the line of scrimmage, but he was making higher impact plays. Like Hudson's just not making high impact plays. His stats have gone significantly down from his sophomore year to his junior year. Like he just statistically had a worse season.
No, you won't.
I see a guy who is added mass and hasn't made him more dangerous physically wise. And then it's also sapped his athleticism, which wasn't really something to write home about to begin with. And so Hudson, there's just good fundamental Don Brown coach defender plays, and I like that. Like I said, I think he's got it right between the ears. I just don't know how to get him on the field to be effective for my defense.
Okay. Now it's a flip of a coin.
Yes.
All right. So you're gonna try and save the guy that I like for last.
Yes. So okay. I'm going to, and man, I don't know. I think you might like TJ Bronson. You might. And there's reasons to like TJ Bronson. Bronson's 2017 was better than his 2018. His 2017 was pretty good. I think the guy you like is Marcus Bailey. That's my guess.
All right, you're right.
Yes! Okay, and Bailey, listen.
No, yeah. Don't talk about Bailey yet.
Okay, suspense. I'm just saying, Bailey, like, I can, I think you probably...
I said don't talk about Bailey yet!
Just one sentence! Okay, so TJ Brunson.
All right, TJ Brunson. Here's the thing. I thought that you introduced that pretty well. I thought TJ Brunson had a better 2017 than he had a better 2018. I thought he got a lot bigger going into 2018. Did you notice that? Is that well written?
Yeah, exactly. He's well fed. I think that when he was playing next to Sky Moore in 2017, they were more chill with him being a spacey dude.
Yeah, and I mean, he was way better at it though. If you gave me the number one complaint of what I didn't like about his 2018 tape, it was that he was too big. He couldn't move.
Like you saw that he was not nearly as shifty and slippery in between the tackles. Like that was his main calling card for me. I remember actually talking about Michigan. I remember watching his Outback Bowl 2017, Michigan versus South Carolina, and saying, "Well, I knew I was supposed to be watching Sky Moore, but who's this number six fella? Because hello, like he had a really really strong game there." Mm-hmm. And then you know when you were. There were rumblings that both he and Javon Kinlaw, who we talked about for the defensive line week, were both coming out from South Carolina. And obviously, Muschamp was able to retain both of them. When I thought Brunson was coming out in 2018, and when you were looking at him, yeah, it was clear that he was bigger and he was slower, which might be what the South Carolina defense needed with Sky Moore gone. It's not like Sky Moore was huge, but like they wanted Brunson to be like a true Mike, like always in the box.
Mm-hmm.
But if, like, when Brunson comes out, now that he's a senior, he should just – I would be shocked if he just didn't cut right back down to his 2017 weight and plays like a will at the next level, because that's what his skill set is for, right? Like
yeah, he's, yeah.
He is – now, he like I said, Hudson's got it right between the ears. TJ Brunson, recognition-wise, is our biggest issue for me in terms of there – he eats play action for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and please may have a second helping. Like, he's raring to go. And it puts him out of position a lot, and they can throw behind him, and they attack him in the RPO game, and teams know that they can get easy completions behind him because he suckers in. Misdirection takes him a while to process, and so I don't know how good his vision is on how good his instincts are, but when it's head up, when it's, all right, the climber's coming to me and the ball's coming this way, like I said, he's slippery. He initiates with his hands. He starts contact. He's ready to strike you and to break your hands before you throw them at him. And that's huge for an undersized backer. If you're not able to win with your hands early, you know, it doesn't really matter how slippery you are, how agile you are. Offensive lineman gets paws on you. He's at least shoving you to the point where you're off balance. You can't make a tackle. Brunson breaks hands really, really well. So that's huge for him. Retaining balance, being able to bring his hips with him into contact. I think he's a sure tackler between the tackles. I think he has the explosiveness at a lower weight to make plays into the boundary. And then coverage-wise, he can run. He can run with them. He can run down the seam when, you know, it's not play action.
Well, I guess I was going to ask you who you liked better, him or Quarterman. But, I mean, if you're describing TJ Brunson like that, then you like TJ Brunson better.
Probably. And it's tricky because I like Brunson. I know what Brunson's 2017 looked like. I can't say I know what Shaq Quarterman's 2017 looks like. You know, I spent more time preparing for Brunson to come out in the 2019 NFL draft. I didn't spend any time on Quarterman. And so mm-hmm. I have a better long-term view on Brunson. So it's easier for me to pull the plays that I like. But I think that Brunson has some translatable stuff. I don't think he's perfect. I think he's limited to a will sort of a role. That same could probably be said for Bailey. But there's things to like there. For
yeah.
Sure.
No, I kind of compared those two guys because those were before the last guy that we're going to talk about. Those are the two guys that I liked the most. And I actually liked Brunson more than I thought that they would. I thought that I would. I thought they were pretty similar from an effort profile. I think Shaq brings a little bit more strength and physicality to what he's doing, although that's not to say that Brunson doesn't do it, but I thought that Brunson was better like to the sideline and in zone, like in any kind of coverage. So in that sense, I'm certainly valuing that a little bit more. I ended up liking Brunson a lot more than I thought that I was going to. Not that I think he's like a first round linebacker or something, but I went into it hearing people say like, oh, you know, we thought he was going to come out last year and he didn't. And there's a reason why he didn't, because he's not good. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. Not good. And he ended up, I thought he was fine. Now, the weight's the number one thing that I noticed. So if he's going to sit at 240, 245, whatever he was last year again, we're not really making progress at that point. Like, I need you at 225, bud. You were making your best plays when you were at 225. So, unfortunately...
Two 230s, but I get your point.
Whatever. Okay, whatever it was. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they got him... I'm looking at it right now, and actually, I'm only looking at his Sports Reference, so South Carolina might have a different... They have him listed at 240, and there's no way he's only 10 pounds bigger than whatever he was last year. So that's why I said 225. He is an easy 15 pounds bigger than what he was, or at least he plays like he's 15 pounds bigger. So,
right.
That's just, he's got to get at a more appropriate weight. And 230 is fine. I like 230. 230 is a good number. I was just saying he's got to be able to get down to something that is a lot better towards his skill set, which you were talking about there.
All right, so now we've drum-rolled into it, and this is your dude, so tell me.
Marcus Bailey. I like Marcus Bailey, man. I thought that kind of right off the bat, I was watching the Ohio State game, and I thought he was really popping off the screen in the Ohio State game. Later, I figure out that he's from Columbus, Ohio, so I'm like, okay, well, there was a little bit of extra motivation in that game for him to play pretty well. But I love how they moved him around. He could play on the edge. They played him a little bit in almost like that slot zone linebacker role. They played him in the middle. I thought he did a good job recognizing certain plays. I also thought he did a good job dropping back into coverage. Not always, but I thought it was a good baseline to where I know that this guy understands zone coverages, and there are a couple of plays where, okay, so maybe he's not exactly the athlete that would be a first-round linebacker, but I think he recognizes stuff well. I think he reads quarterbacks' eyes really well. So that's where I really liked Marcus Bailey, because I thought of the baseline linebacker things that you need to do well, right? Tackle, run fill, not bite on play action all the time, and just be able to overall pursue the ball whenever it's on the ground. You've got to be able to do that as a linebacker. If you can't do those things, you're just not going to be reliable enough to play on the field. But then beyond that, what can you do from above the shoulder standpoint, if you will? And that comes down to recognizing tendencies, seeing how the offense is lined up. I even saw him jump a couple of snaps when it came to read option plays, because he knew exactly where they were going a little bit. So
listen,
that
you don't get 13.5 sacks and whatever it is, like it's like 15, 18 tackles for loss over the past 2 years. Without knowing how to get off the ball.
Yeah.
Like,
and so
he went from no behind the line production to bonkers behind the line production in a flash.
Yeah. Yep. No, and there's you could just see, I think, the football IQ jump in him over the last couple of years. And going in, so I look up all these guys before I pop in their film, because I want to know a little bit about them. I want to get the height, weight. I want to see what year they are. I want to see some of kind of the baseline of where they were coming from. He's a fifth-year linebacker, and I was looking for some injuries, and I didn't see them. I mean, he got hurt in 2015, but started all 12 games in 2016, started all 13 games in 2017, started all 13 games in 2018. At that point, when you're a fifth-year senior, I'm like, you must suck if you are still a fifth-year senior and you're staying in school. Marcus Bailey's good. And I think he's my favorite linebacker. Well, no, he is. He's my favorite linebacker out of any of the linebackers that we've watched so far, because of the complete game that I think that he brings. So sounds like you agreed a little bit with me, at least.
Yes, no, I did. And so here, do you want my fun, because we did fun bio for Joe Bosch. You want my fun bio for Marcus Bailey?
Sure, if you've got one, yeah.
Yeah, so Marcus Bailey grew up like 10 minutes from Columbus, Ohio, right? Huge Ohio State fan.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Hiller High School was where he went, 10 miles from Ohio Stadium. He grew up an Ohio State fan. He received, like, you know, interest from Ohio State during the recruiting process. He went to a camp, and Ohio State never offered. And Bailey was not stoked. Like, Bailey was, like, a really good high school player. He was an outside linebacker. He had a ton of tackles, a ton of sacks. And Bailey, like he took that nonsense personally, right? Like, he was legit pissed. And so they play Ohio State at home. You know, Ohio State was, like, you know, like, looking a little bit weak, but they were undefeated. That was the game with the young man, Tyler Coney, I believe. No.
Who are you talking about? Rondale Moore?
No. It was the game of the young man who had cancer, the Purdue super fan.
I know the story. I don't know his name.
His name is Tyler, I believe. I can't recall his last name. But anyway, and that's that game. And Bailey's amped for that game. He comes out. He has 15 tackles, an interception return for a touchdown. And that was the game. My first exposure to Bailey was that game. And he was playing amped. Like, it was 60 minutes of, hey, screw you guys. And he talked about it before the game. Like, I'm more than a little pissed that Ohio State did not recruit me, and, you know, I'm really excited for this matchup with them because we think we could beat them, and then obviously they did. You brought up really well in terms of Purdue puts him everywhere, and athletically, Bailey's probably the best linebacker we've talked about today, which, like, Kaliki Hudson is 15 pounds lighter than him, and Bailey's probably a better mover. Bailey's more explosive coming down and help the contact. You brought up the head, the mind is a huge part of it. Bailey has really, really good recognition ability. He understands how to fill multiple zone spots in the short zones, how to overlap those, respond to route breaks. He does a really, really good job reading triangle reads that are developing in front of him, closing as the ball is delivered. The pass rush production matters. Like, you know, I think he's a good coverage player, but if you're not going to be a good coverage player, like I said with Joe Bosch, you'd be able to rush the passer. And yeah, 13.5 sacks over the last 2 years for Marcus Bailey. He is a highly effective blitzer who knows how to separate off of offensive linemen, work a half man, bend a corner, and get to the quarterback. Like, that is not something to be understated at all. And then the last thing with Bailey that I'm not sure, like, you know, that really impressed me, that had me excited, he's a great form tackler, especially when he's moving at full speed.
Yes.
He's really, really good at dropping his hips, driving through contact, wrapping and sealing. And he goes for a big hit sometimes. I think every linebacker does. There's no way to ignore that. But he is really, really smart.
But he nails a lot of the big hits too, you know, like that. And it just goes to show, dude.
You can go for the wallop if you know how to pick your spots and it's a good spot for you. Like, you know, you can't be, like, thrown around willy-nilly. What I'm saying is, like, when he, you know, if you're going to be a good boundary player, like I talk about playing into the boundaries, you got to be able to get on your horse, track, sift through some trash, undercut a block, work over the block. But then when you're moving at full speed and that running back's just looking for that opportunity to stop on that dime and cut back up inside of you, being able to make good tackles at speed, at velocity, is huge. And Bailey has that trait, in my opinion. And that, like, that's the cherry on top. That's the feather in the cap of being a sideline to sideline linebacker. And I think you can call Bailey, whether it's by alignment because he's a will and because he's kind of that space overhang guy, or if it's because of his physical tools and his mental tools, whatever you want. He's sideline to sideline guy. Like, he's got full
range can be.
And full influence.
I didn't expect that. I really didn't. Yeah. Like I said, looking at his stats and everything, right, or like how long he's been there, I really didn't expect to see what I saw in film.
Now, because you gotta circle it back to, okay, what's the concern here? What's the worry? Bailey stubby. He does not have length. He does not have height. And so when it becomes man coverage situations for Bailey, he's typically at a disadvantage with anybody he's tagging man to man. And he has the movement skills to be sticky, but he doesn't have a ton of experience in man coverage. He gets grabby, and then he doesn't really affect the catch point. Which, if you're going to be a Mike, okay. If you're going to be a Will, I need you to be able to tag tight ends in man coverage, and right, I don't think that Bailey has the physical tools to be a highly effective man coverage defender because of that. And then the other thing is, I would say that shucking blocks in between the tackles, again, we have length and strength concerns. Upper body-wise, he's just not the biggest dude, and accordingly—
I didn't think he'd get bodied, did you?
I mean, he doesn't get washed. Like, he's feisty and he's active and he takes good angles. And, like, when you have good anticipation, you rarely give the offensive lineman a square shot at you to really, like, body you. But he's not a guy who's going to stack and shed. He's going to be a guy who
Maybe not super consistently. You're right.
Yeah. I think that I've alluded to this. I think he's a college Mike, and I think he's an NFL Will, which I think will protect him a little bit and allow him to shoot some more gaps and be a little bit more slippery.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, trying to win with length. I think that's the way it's got to be.
Yeah. Man, there's a lot to like about him. Maybe it's because I watched linebackers all week that I didn't think were very good, and then I popped on his tape, and I'm like, all right, here we go. Now I got an actual NFL linebacker. But this right. is the one guy who, out of everybody we've watched, and we've watched eight dudes so far, like, I got faith in this guy making it in the NFL somehow. At least, you know, whether it's in a rotational role or whatever, maybe he's not an all-pro guy. I'm not really sure. I think, like you said, I'd like to see more advanced things in coverage. Maybe we see him even take that further next step. Not sure how old he's going to be when he gets drafted, but I mean, if he's a fifth-year senior, he's got to be, what, 23 at least? So, age.
Let me see if I have an age on him.
Age is kind of coming into play here for him.
He was born. Oh, he was born 11 days before me, so March 7th, 97. So, yeah, he'll turn 23 about a month before the draft.
Okay, so he's a Pisces.
Go team! Squad up.
23 is fine. Okay, like, I don't... 23 is
it's
fine.
It's linebacker. If you're good, just go be good.
That's true. It's not that big of a deal. I'm wondering, like, right. are they going to sit here and they're going to be like, okay, well, he's older as a player when, you know, you could pick... This is a bad example because I don't think you're going to be flipping a coin between him and Dylan Moses. But, like, there are linebackers who are... There might be linebackers who are just straight up 3 years younger than... Marcus Bailey.
Sure. And that's the thing. It's like,
if you are an older prospect, you have to be far enough along to where you're not having this giant learning curve, because that's the thing. That's the thing with age, is that I don't care if you're old as long as you're good, but I can't have you be old and then have 2 years to figure out the NFL game, then all of a sudden you're 26, 27, and you're 28 by the first time you're coming out of your rookie deal. That's too much time, and teams are already going to give up on you because there's too many guys who are younger than you, way younger than you, who could probably pick it up faster. So as long as he, and it looks like Marcus Bailey really does, like I said, he's got all the baseline stuff. Really, at this point, what you're looking for is some more nuanced understanding and coverage, maybe getting a little bit better, more annoying, more savvy in that man coverage thing, as you know, he might have to drop if he's going to be a Will linebacker, that kinds of stuff. But as long as that is there, I don't care about the age. If you're good, you're good. But when you're older, you better be good. Because the time I have of forgiveness for you to figure out how to get it done is a lot less than somebody who might be 3 years younger than you. Rant.
Just be a good player. You know, I've complained about age on this podcast before. Yeah, age starts getting calculated for me when it's a coin flip. Like, talked about, you know, between him and Dylan Moses, right? Like, between him and the comparable.
Well, that's my thing. If your learning curve doesn't have to be that much, if I can see where you're going to play in the NFL right away, I don't care how old you are. You're good. You can play.
Exactly.
I already know the role.
Just go get the good players. It's my policy. I like to keep things simple.
Well, that's stupid. Picking good players.
Yeah. Can't do a whole podcast about just pick the good players. Need suss that out a little more.
All right, we're getting to underclassmen tomorrow.
Underclassmen Wednesday.
We got Dylan Moses, hey. Isaiah Simmons, Charles Snowden, Patty Fisher. So those are the guys that we got coming up tomorrow, and we're going to have even more underclassmen on Thursday. Then, of course, Fan Friday is going to be popping as well, because it always is. We got to keep our streak of having the best Fan Fridays ever, because last week's, I think, definitely was, because you and I got the most heated because you were an idiot and said that hippos were cute.
Hippo, the prompt was, animal who looks cuddly but would also kill you. Hippo is literally a flawless fill in that description.
That
just perfect execution by Solak. Artist or watch on the field.
I don't understand how a hippo is cuddly.
It's because you're uneducated.
Wow.
Uneducated.
Wow. Wow.
Uncultured.
Wow. Well, we're gonna ineducate some people on linebackers tomorrow. See the transition? That was great.
Plebeian.
Didn't even make any sense, but it was so great. You guys stick around. Keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.